Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Sherry just sent me a text, says calm down.
The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Jim Brown would be Benny Snell now. Oh, you like that? You like that?
And James Strebel.
Thank you, Jeff Goodman.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
At this very moment, Duke has the number one recruiting class in 2022 secured. And at this very moment, Duke also has the number one recruiting class in 2023.
All right, let's go. We're going to move into the 5 o'clock hour here, late 4 o'clock hour. Justin Jeffrey is going to join us here in just a second. Reminder to check out our good friends at Cox's Spirit Shop and Evergreen Liquors. Need to get out to another one of those locations.
Yeah.
Get some craft beer and some bourbon in our guy Strebel here, which changes nothing from a normal Wednesday. But
right? Yeah.
We'll just be on the road.
Exactly.
And we enjoy that. And Cox'sLouisville.com, they are delivering right now all the beer, wine, spirits, premium cigars to get you ready for the games this weekend and to get you through a Wednesday. 437-9680. We'll get into some explosive sound against John Calipari that's going to rile Strebel up. We have Pete Futek going to join us in about a half an hour. And so we got you to 6 o'clock here on The Take on ESPN Louisville. Justin Jeffries joins us. We'll talk some UK football with him. Double J, what's happening, man? What's going on?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
Well, it sounds like you're in the car. Where are you at? In the middle of nowhere?
I am.
In Danville?
I'm in Owensboro.
Okay.
Owensboro today.
Oh, Owensboro.
There you go.
I've been there. You go to a little moonlight barbecue, Justin?
You know, at the hotel that I stay in, they got this place called Burger Theory. It's at the Holiday Inn. It's right on the river. And they always bump me up to the river view with a balcony. So I'll sit over there and crush a few Miller Lights.
There you go.
And do a little work. Maybe sip a little bourbon. Listen
there
to you
go.
Gas bags going about Strebel, looking at naked pictures and stuff like that. So it's all good.
Well, he has to do it here. He can't do it at home. He's scared. The place is wired like Chris Mack's office.
That's right.
He doesn't know what
being recorded all the time.
Yeah, he's being recorded. You know that that teddy bear over there? Its eye looks a little bit different.
It does.
Okay? I don't know.
It zooms in and out.
Yeah, it's Mr. and Mrs. Smith at his household. But it's only
it.
One. I don't know. Has Jeffrey's ever seen Mr. and Mrs. Smith? Is that not a, that's the Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie where
spy
they fell.
Movie.
It's the spy movie where they fell in love.
Yeah.
It's like a decade ago.
I do. I know I've seen it. Do
okay.
I really remember? I remember the last scene where they're all like, where they're trying
battling.
To kill each other, but like
yeah.
falling back in love and stuff like that. Yeah, it's okay.
Right, right. Yeah, you usually throw knives at your loved ones and then make love in a blown up house. That's usually what happens. What bothered you the most watching that nonsense on Saturday against Chattanooga? I mean, there had to be a bunch of things, but you're sitting there and you're thinking what?
All the above. It was junk. I mean, you know, I was kind of nervous about that. We talked about it, you know, a little bit last week when I came on the show. And, you know, I was actually kind of happy that we had, you know, a low-key Chattanooga game after, you know, a heavyweight fight with, or if you
yep.
want to call it a heavyweight fight, with Missouri. but they came out lethargic. You know, it was one of those things where, you know, I go back to 2008 when we played Middle Tennessee State, and it was kind of like that sleepy type game, and they played with us the whole game, and we ended up having to intercept, or I think intercept a Hail Mary on the 3-yard line to save the game. It kind of had that kind of vibe to it. You know, once you come out in sleepy games like that, and the switch is off, it's really, really hard to turn that switch back on, and you could tell they couldn't do it, and if it wasn't for that pick six, the conversation would be a whole lot different today.
Did you think, I guess this is for both of you, I don't know, Strebel, you may have said this, did you guys have a moment where you thought you were going to lose that game?
No, I never really thought that we were going to lose the game. I was just worried, all the hype we built up, with beating Missouri and dominating them for, three quarters. We just pissed it out the window, with that lethargic performance. And, I never really thought that, but, hopefully it gives them a little fire for this weekend.
I think Strebel was. I think Strebel was nervous,
yeah,
Jeffries.
When they took the lead, it was kind of like, hold on a second. Like, I thought it'd be close just the way they were playing, but I never expected them to take the lead. So when they took the lead, there was like a little twinge of like,
Because Strebel's having a bad weekend. Let's say what it was, Jeffries. He was an interception away from being able to be mean and nasty on Friday.
Yep.
Like literally was going to be up to 3 a.m. if Louisville had lost. Instead, they had in a miraculous moment.
They won.
And they win the game. And then his team looked like crap.
Yeah.
And he knew that he was going to have to battle people. And he's in his feelings over the new Duke coach, John Shire, doing work. So
beautiful John Shire doing
work. Yes. John Shire's not a good looking guy.
He's not.
He's a regular looking white dude.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
exactly
what I said, Justin. I was like, he's a middle aged, thin white guy. He's Jerry Seinfeld. That's what he is.
I'm with
Seinfeld.
You.
I love that's where you went. Seinfeld.
That was a Monty reference.
Yeah, you went to 90s sitcom.
That's what he kind of looks like.
Oh, my
middle
goodness.
Aged white guy.
Anyway.
That's it. Yeah.
So Kentucky was obviously in a bad spot. I don't know if you – now, we played, and we don't have to play all 3 minutes. I mean, there's a bunch of sound. But Liam Cohen after the game was like, I wanted to throw the ball more and kind of, not run C-Rod, given that, you want to keep his carries down, especially when you can. And he really blasted himself. Obviously, some of that was a misdirection, so maybe we don't, blast the players, but Kentucky did offensively not have an identity really on Saturday. What did you make of that from Liam Cohen?
I applaud Liam Cohen for doing that. I mean, it was one of those where, against ULM, he called a great game. He was firing the ball down the field. Running game was great. Against Missouri, I think he called a great game, had a great game plan for that. And this was like his first, toe stub, for lack of better terms. And to be able to go out and say, hey, guys, I screwed up. I tried to take it easy. He played it kind of like the players. He wasn't up for it. This is just from my point of view. He wasn't up for it. He was just like, let's take it easy. Let's get this game blown out. And then once we blow it out, get some of these other guys in. And then before you know it, they were in a fight. And he was in a fight too. He's like,
sure
I can't get the guys, fired back up again. And I can't run the ball. And nobody's ready to go. So, now it puts himself in a bad spot. And, good for him to take some of the slings and arrows on that, and he probably was trying to save face with his boss as well, so I think that might have been part of it as well.
Yeah, those Stoops conversations, we're going to run the ball a little bit more. I guess the only thing I've said, too, and I wish I had the numbers. I threw them away after maybe Monday's show. This is just a mini worry of mine, Justin, and Justin Jeffries with us here on ESPN 680-1057, is that like, C-Rod is really good. I don't know what they have behind him, right? I feel like they don't really have, a third down back. I feel like Kavassier Smoke is okay. He's often injured.
He
doesn't look as dynamic this year as he has when he's been healthy other years. And so there's just not a lot. Stoops is saying, I'm running C-Rod, and that's almost it. that is almost it. So I can understand trying to do what you did with Chattanooga, but – to me, I think they need one more running back. I don't know. I don't know if you feel that way. That's just my opinion.
I could agree with that. We thought, Kavassier Smoke, his freshman, sophomore year, he would come out and make big plays, and then, we would get excited about him, and then what would happen? He'd get injured, he'd be out for 3 or 4 games, try to come back, and would be a step slow, a step behind everybody because he's been out for 2.5, a month and a half, 2 months. And then, coming into this year, with C-Rod taking the majority of the carries, you would think, Kavassier could come in and be serviceable. That's all you need him to be. You don't need somebody to blow the game wide open or to make huge plays. You need somebody just to be serviceable, somebody to take some of the carries off of C-Rod, because C-Rod's going to be – he's our banger. You can give it to him, 20 times a game, and he's going to be in good shape. But – Kavassia just hasn't been that. He hadn't shown that explosion, you know, and I'm not putting that on the offensive line. You know, like I said, if you put C-Rod in there, he's making plays, and Smoke seems to be a step behind. And I, to be completely honest with you, I don't know who the other running backs are behind, you know, Smoke.
Yeah.
I heard Tisdale, you know, some other guys. But, you know, it's been one of those, it's kind of disappointing. And it puts a little bit more pressure on C-Rod. And, you know, what happens if, you know, C-Rod goes down with an injury? Then we're really screwed. And not having anybody, you know, behind there to back him up. So I agree. I mean, you got to have somebody, you know, in the NFL, you know, they have 2, 3, 4 running backs, you know, that are coming through. You got somebody who can catch the ball out of the backfield. You got your banger. You got somebody who can blow plays wide open. And we just don't have that. We got a banger, and we're still looking for a guy who can, you know, our scat back type guy or guy out of the backfield, you know, this, that, and the other.
Yeah, I'm just surprised they don't have him, given that Stoops loves to run the damn ball.
He's had so much success yeah. running the ball with multiple running
you,
backs.
Well, you disagree with Jeffries. I gave the same
no,
take.
I do.
You disagree with me and Jeffries.
Because I said, this was my...
You're kissing up to C-Rod.
I'm not.
Like his family was listening.
They did it the year with Benny Snell.
They did.
Who else was running the ball that year other than Benny Snell? Nobody.
Oh, man, I don't know.
Nobody. It was Benny Snell, and that was it. They, like, C-Rod,
Jeffries can't remember.
Smoke,
this man's
got
drinking,
in
this man's,
against
this
Louisville.
Man's,
that
this,
was it.
Disobeying Mitch Barnhart.
He drinks
in Kroger Field all the
it
time.
He does. Damn right he does. He should.
Yeah,
they've
exactly.
done it before. That was my, you know. But if he gets hurt, then, yeah, we're in a bad spot. But I think they could run with C-Rod being the primary back, the only back all season, be fine.
They should have a
remember,
third down,
you know,
tight back.
Going back to yeah. that year with Benny Snell, you know, you had what's Ince's favorite guy, the quarterback guy?
Terry Wilson,
who was running the ball quite a bit more. And, you know, I don't want it, but I don't see Will Levis, you know, running it like Terry did, you know, read options and stuff like that. So, you know, Terry Wilson being able to move around, you know, that year also brought some of the expectation and some of the bang off of Benny as well. So they almost had two running backs in the backfield that year.
But they didn't have a passing attack at all.
Yeah, that's true.
No.
They did not have any passing attack.
None.
It was literally Benny Snell or Terry Wilson run.
Last one, you know, 5 o'clock hour here. We can let Jeffries go. Thoughts on South Carolina? I mean, mine's simple. Go up there, win. Don't win by a field goal. Win by more than that. And kind of feel good about yourself going in to the more difficult parts of your schedule. I think Florida, the way I view them, has changed so much with how they played against Alabama. What do you make of going on the road, South Carolina? This isn't a good team. Your favorite on the road. Kentucky, hey, you know, has been shaky taking care of business last week. What do you make of the game on Saturday?
You got to go down and you got to win big. I mean, it's just as simple as that. You know, the atmosphere is going to be crazy. Even though they're crap, you know, the people are still going to come out. It's going to be, a 7:30 kick. So they're going to be nice and lubed up. If you can't get up for a game like that, then you need to go find a different profession. The guys should be geeked up, should be ready to go. And like I said, like you just said, you got to blow the doors off of them. Get yourself, not only for the fan base, excuse me, not only for the fan base, but for yourself, you know, to give yourself confidence, like, hey, last week was a fluke, you know, now let's prove it to ourselves that it was a fluke. Let's prove it to everybody else that, hey, you know, maybe, you know, if we blow them out by, you know, 17, 18, 21 points, you know, now guys could be like, hey, maybe they can compete with Florida. So not only for the fan base and for the media, but for themselves, they deserve and they need to go out and beat the brakes off of South Carolina.
They just need to look like such the better team. That's how I view them. And we'll see exactly how the game plays out and the score and everything else. All right, Double J, we'll see. Safe travels, and we'll catch up. Thank you so much, man. Take care.
Appreciate it, fellas.
All right, there he is.
Take it easy, Justin.
There it is. Justin Jeffries hanging out with us here on this Wednesday. Do we need to take a quick legal ID here, Jack? Do we want to hit a legal ID on the fly?
You're listening to Kentuckiana's ESPN 680, WHBE Newburgh, and 105.7 WHBE FM Eminence Frankfort.
All right, so do we hit him over the head with some of this Calipari stuff now, Jack?
All right, let's go.
Oh, yeah.
We might as well. We have 15 minutes here before we break and we get Pete Futek of College Football News. We'll have some time after.
Okay.
Okay?
I'm ready. Okay.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm all right.
You don't sound okay.
I'm trying to prepare
myself.
You
don't look okay.
I'm going to be okay.
You look nervous.
I'm not nervous. I just who's coming at Calipari? That's what I want to know.
Rob Doster.
So we've got – We had Rob Doster, Matt Norlander, and Gary Parrish. I'm telling you, the memo went out. The memo went out. Let's hear it. All right. Let's hear this.
This has nothing to do with Shire.
Oh, but
this
we
has
gotta
to
crush,
do with Cal.
We got to crush Cal to raise Shire's profile. I know what they're doing.
You know the game.
I know the game. I know what they're doing.
You know
Let's
the
go.
Game.
Cal's got something for old Shire. Let's go.
So for Kentucky to be back, it's a little bit the same thing that I talked about with Shire, right? Like, before
Shire.
I go all in on Shire, like, I just want to see if he can win games as a basketball coach and get his players better. The same thing with Coach Cal here and kind of getting these guys back. My biggest criticism for that program has been they've been a little bit adverse to change when it comes to the stuff that they run and the style that they play. Wow. Like, Coach Cal loved playing two big guys, right? Like, he wants to be able to dominate the class, and he wants to be able to have that five man in the dunker spot while also having a five man set of screens, so you've got that guy rolling to the rim and things kind of get clogged. And you know what has been the knock on that program recent years, like their inability to shoot, their inability to space the floor, right? If you kind of look at what they run, they're still running a lot of the same sets that they used to run back in like 2010. And look, that happens in a lot of places as well. But when what Coach Cal kind of does, right, is basically finds what works and runs it over and over and over again. There's not a lot of like complicated sets that he's running.
No.
Oh, boy.
I mean,
Let's play this. This is gonna get. Jack. This is the one, right?
Yeah, this is the one. This is the one.
That was the appetizer.
That's the appetizer.
You had a little side salad.
Yeah.
Little ranch.
Yeah.
Little crouton.
I like those things.
I do love the whole thing where Strebel's like all these guys are just here to prop up Shire. Then the first 10 seconds of him is Doster saying he needs to see Shire actually coach.
Right.
Which is great.
Yeah.
He's still setting up Shire versus Cal.
Here's the thing. Strebel agrees with that take.
There's parts of it I agree with.
You said it last year when they were nine and whatever they were.
That's why I wasn't getting so hot taking it from that one. That's been the number one complaint about Calipari for the last few years.
All right, so let's go. Let's move her on. Let's go.
I was talking with someone close to this program, and basically what they told me is that like Coach Cal is not a basketball junkie, right? Coach Cal is not that guy. Like, he's just not staying up all night. He's not staying up all night watching basketball games. Like, he's not sitting there grinding film the way that some of these other guys grind film. And he's kind of set in his ways and does what he does. And the other thing, before I let you guys go, I'm sorry, I'm kind of ranting here, but the other thing is that he also wants to call the stuff himself. Like, it's his program. He's John Calipari. Yeah. His name is on it. He wants to have the stuff that they're running come from him. He wants to call the sets, which is not always ideal when you're not the most up to date in terms of what is effective in modern basketball, right?
Oh boy.
Does he have that same energy? No,
here's what needs to happen. John Calipari needs his Ross McMahon's.
No, he doesn't need a Ross McMahon's.
That's what he needs.
No, he doesn't. He just got a whole new staff.
Does John Calipari need a Ross McMahon's?
He's got better McMahon's.
81-50-93-9.
DeVille. Yeah, call Ennis and ask
him. How about that?
I do like that, though.
Coach Cal's musty.
No, he's not musty.
He's musty. You agree with that?
I agree with the first part.
He's not a junkie.
Again, so Coach K's been losing. Roy Williams has been losing. Bill Self been losing. All these dudes been losing. But he doesn't have that energy for them dudes. He's got energy. He can't even say Calipari right. Calipari. If you can't get his name right, keep it out your mouth, Doster. Keep it out your mouth. If you don't know how to pronounce the man's name, you're not a junkie either. You're not a radio junkie or a news junkie because you can't pronounce the man's name correctly.
He's a guy
that's been, you know, writing about for a decade now, who's been running your website for you. You can't pronounce his name right, but you want to go in there and bash him. I don't want to hear it from Doster. Say the man's name right, then maybe I'll take you seriously. Everyone's been saying Calipari. He's been saying, my name's Calipari. He's on there, Calipari. Calipari. No, get out my face, Doster. I don't need to hear about who's a junkie, who's not a junkie. You're going to criticize K if he flubs it again this season and stinks again this season?
No, he's the greatest.
I agree with the first part. But this he's not a basketball junkie.
He's not a basketball junkie. He's not doing this.
He's just a CEO. He's not staying up late.
He's not staying up watching
Is he in the
West
bedroom
Coast
with
back.
John Calipari? Is Rob Doster in the bedroom, John Calipari, watching film or not watching film? That's the question. How do you know if he's staying up or not?
I don't know.
He doesn't know. He's on there just blowing smoke. It's what he's doing.
does.
I love how you didn't actually disagree with anything he said. You just went nuts over him mispronouncing the name.
That's all you have there.
If you're going to come hard at somebody, at least be able to pronounce their name correctly. Especially if you're a college basketball media guy.
What a stupid thing to care about. I'm with you.
It annoys me.
But you're pivoting from what we need to talk about.
Which is what? Calipari being
musty? Which is you agree with it, yeah.
I do agree with the first soundbite. The second soundbite, like, how does he know, like, how much basketball John Calipari watches? How much film
source
he
close
he
to the
digests?
Program.
Yeah.
Okay, who's that?
Source is close to the program.
Source is close to the program. I got sources all over the place.
Do you?
Yeah.
Jason Markham?
Moles. Jason Markham. I got Jason
Edge. What's the last BBN gas bag you
Wait. You just called Jason Edge your source to the UK basketball program.
It was a joke, obviously. I'm just being
Are we
fun
sure?
Here.
Who have you DM'd lately? Have you DM'd anybody lately?
Possibly. There may have been a DM.
You're unbelievable. You're always throwing DMs out there.
Not always, about once a month. You say I have a question about something. I might throw it out there to somebody.
Give me a little Matt Norlander on John Shire. Come on. Give me a little Norlander. Give me a little Norlander. Let's go.
Mike Krzyzewski still has a lot of presence, influence over the program right now. Obviously, he's still the head coach. The fact that Shire's been able to do what he's been able to do as the lead assistant and the coach in waiting has been really impressive. The recruiting class that he is building up, like, there's not going to, from a recruiting perspective, there is not going to be any drop off when Mike Krzyzewski retires and Shire takes over again. This is for the first year. We'll see where we're at in year three, year four, year five. But it's very, very impressive.
He agrees with me. That's what I've been saying these last 2 days. I've been saying exactly that same thing that Matt Norlander just said. He looms large around the program. Let's see in 2 or 3 years.
But you don't agree with their premise. Their premise is he's going to have the number one class.
That's not what he just said.
Give us the Gary Parrish.
I heard the Gary Parrish, and he's
The 5 o'clock hour? Yeah, we got to play it for the 5 right. o'clock hour.
You want both of them or just the second one?
Just give me the second one. Go ahead.
So right now, John Shire has secured commitments from 4 5-star prospects since being named the coach in waiting in June. It's Derek Lively, who's ranked second in the class of 2022. Dariq Whitehead, who's ranked fifth in the class of 2022. Cal Filipowski, who's ranked eighth in the class of 2022. And then Caleb Foster, who is ranked 12th in the class of 2023. Duke also, Shire, has secured a commitment from Jaden Shute, who's a 4-star prospect, ranked 56th in the class of 2022. So what I'm about to tell you is true. At this very moment, Duke has the number one recruiting class in 2022. Secured. And at this very moment, Duke also has the number one recruiting class in 2023.
When John Calipari gets the number one recruiting class in 2022, I'm just going to tweet at him, secured.
No.
I am. I'm going to tweet, secured. That's what I'm going to do. That is 100% what I'm going to do. I'm going to tweet at him, secured. I am, because that's what's going to happen.
You're so tough.
And I'm going to tweet,
secured. You're going to tweet him, secured.
I'm not saying I'm tough.
Secured.
I didn't say I was tough.
Secured.
I'm just going to tweet, secured. That's all I'm going to do.
Secured.
Yeah. Just secured.
Say it. Secured.
Secured. I'm going to tweet at him.
Jack,
secured.
Secured.
Yeah. So when that happens, I'm going to at Gary Parrish, CBS, or whatever he is. Secured.
Secured.
Yep.
Texas says, hey, guys, Jody reported 2 days ago that Calipari wasn't a basketball junkie.
Oh, is that where Rob Doster got that?
Texas says, John Robick is Calipari's McMains.
He could actually, I think, like, coach this year. He didn't have to sit there quiet on the bench.
Texas says, you guys need to have Doster join the show on Friday and watch Big Boy swim.
I won't swim. I'll invite him on. I'll have a conversation with him.
Texas says, is he in the bedroom or not?
That's the question I have. He doesn't know what he's doing at night. He doesn't know how much film he's watching. Rob, he's not watching enough film. He's not a basketball junkie. He's not digesting enough material. It's like, yeah, all these games he's won, he's flubbed it. He sounds like a Louisville. He just flubbed it. He just lucked into all this stuff. Just lucked it, fell into it. Yeah.
Texas says, how did Round Daddy feel about Dan Issel calling him an idiot today?
I'm okay with it.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me.
Just as long as it's a UK luminary.
You know, he'll let, as long as Pratt and Issel acknowledge that he's alive, he'll let them abuse him. Like, yeah. It doesn't matter, Jack. He believes that any pub is good pub at this point.
He's like the middle school kid that wants to be popular. And he's trying to, you know... Be with the that's a mean one. I'm sorry. That too much.
Boy, how meek are you? You meek little mouse.
Already,
you crash yes. And burn.
Yeah, no. You so really the analogy is Streeple's like the guy that wants to be with, you know, the popular guy, so he like does the homework, he carries around the bags and all that stuff, and he just wants that little pat on the head.
Damn, Jack.
I'm stunned.
I am too. That's the meanest thing
I mean, I've been in that spot too, but
I'm just kidding, Jack. I don't care.
By the way, today's Big Easy's birthday.
What's he get for his birthday?
A Peloton.
What
does he get for his birthday? Whatever he wants.
Whatever.
What does Big Easy get for his birthday?
Whatever. He
I don't
wants.
Know. A car. A trip to the Bahamas? Whatever he wants.
A Tesla.
Yeah. If he wants to charge his car, he'll charge the GD car. What do you mean, what does Big Easy get? Whatever Big Easy wants.
You got a big dinner coming tonight? Oh, yeah. Wait for those pictures to come out.
It'll be all week.
That's going to be great.
Oh, yeah. It'll be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Out at dinner.
Oh, what a noise there, too, Jack. Boy, you're on it today. You really are.
Yeah. Yeah,
you really are on it today.
Happy birthday to Easy. He's not listening, but there it is.
Happy birthday to Big Easy.
Yes.
He's 41.
Really?
Yeah, it's an old man.
I'll be there soon enough, Easy.
Yes, I know Louis Rabeau. Yes, Louis Rabeau. Yes, I know Jack made us uncomfortable with his analogy. Yeah, it's like the unpopular kid in high school.
Yeah, this dork. Yeah. Just sucks up to all the cool kids. And well, thank you, Jack. Now I know.
Thank you. In this case, you're battling them with a slung.
As long as you get a smile from Issel.
Pot calling the kettle black. Yes, I see it on the text line. Yes, I know. That's. I have no idea. I think actually Jack was very popular. I don't know why people would think Jack wouldn't be popular.
Yeah, I think you see Jack being very popular.
Yes.
Yeah, I could definitely. I was popular too. Contrary to popular belief, I was popular.
No, you peaked.
I did. I peaked. No, I peaked after high school.
No, you're a guy that peaked late high school. First few years of college, type 21-ish, like then. 22, 23.
No, I hit my stride mid-20s.
Really? It's more mid-20s?
Yeah, more mid-20s. Okay. Yeah, more mid-20s okay. when I hit my stride. But no, I was popular in high school.
Texas says, the irony of that attempted comment by Jack Grossman.
Oh, I'm sure I'm getting crushed right now.
Texas says, damn it, Crean, when you start crushing someone, you don't take the foot off the throttle.
I felt bad. But I
don't ever feel bad if you're crushing
I didn't want to go through with it.
Why?
Texas says,
I felt like it was too personal.
Jack sounds like Biden. He can't finish a sentence. With that, we'll take a quick break. And look at us do sports radio. College
great.
Football talk.
Yeah.
Next.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
CardNation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
We're taking your thoughts on Joey Votto. Fred, go ahead.
And James Strebel.
My thoughts are, death to Floyd Street, Loserville sucks, you bums and blanker chip L's down, you chump of a chump. Booyah!
The booyah got me.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
All right, so Pete Futek going to join us here in just a second. Reminder, Ryder Cup coming up on Saturday, 8 a.m. to about 6 o'clock. We'll have the entire day via Westwood One, our friends there. Ryder Cup Saturday, and then after the Ravens and Lions.
Ravens and Lions, there we go.
Yeah, after that, after the Ravens and Lions, we'll finish that up with a little Ryder Cup on Sunday as well. We'll have all the post-game coverage with Kentucky and South Carolina about 10 o'clock on Saturday, presented by the Kentucky Fish and Wildlife. And then Louisville, obviously, 93.9. The guys will be out of Khalil's off Dixie Highway, and pre- and post-game coverage there with Patty Ice and our guy Taylor Lynch. And they'll be taking you up until kickoff, Miller Lite post-game show. What happens there, 3:30 between Florida State and Louisville. But let's dive into some local football and obviously the national scene. We love when we can catch up with Pete Futek, college football news. Pete, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
So you're going to do Ryder Cup on the radio.
Yeah, we have to take it.
You
want to run the Super Bowl? You got to take it.
I am going to say that is easily the most overrated big sporting event I've ever been to, because you can't see anything.
Let's go.
Like I went to the one in Hazleton. There, if you remember at all, there was that one epic hole where Rory McIlroy and Patrick Reed hit these bomb putts. And they just went crazy, and they were all, like, jumping and all fired up and stuff. I was on the tee box for that and had no clue what happened on any of that. And then as we're walking around, we're like, this is kind of boring. Is anything happening? And meanwhile, I called my brother-in-law. He's like, this is the greatest thing event ever. I'm like, okay, I have no clue.
Well, it was here a number of years ago when it was like, you know, one of these emotional big-time USA wins. And so people, it's one of those things where everyone around here went at some point that weekend to Valhalla. But what you're saying, I think some people agree. I think other people are hating on you right now. But golf tournaments are difficult. No, you watch them on television.
When it's a better product. They're great. On TV, they're awesome because they're like big shot.
You can see everything. Yeah.
And you see everything. And you don't see it. Like, now, I was like a foot and a half. Like, you know, Rory McIlroy threw me a golf ball, which I gave to this
kid. There you go. You know,
there's cool stuff like that. And I will hit on this. Of course, I love my country, but I despised every single, like, USA fan person at this thing because they were obnoxiously annoying. But, yes, other than that, yeah, Ryder Cup, yay. Let's go. I'll watch it on TV.
Yeah, I was going to say, all you do is you pound beers and go USA, not knowing where the shot's going, not knowing that Dustin Johnson may have just shanked it to the left, you know, 35 feet on the cart path. So there you go. Hot takes from Pete Futek, college football. News. I like that. No, get that off your chest. That's some
I'm
good
sorry.
Stuff.
I'm back now. I'm clear. Yes, college football.
The thing is, it's a good listen on the radio because I'm like you. I thought it was going to suck. And with our thing with Westwood One, it's one of the things we pick up whenever there's the Ryder Cup, and it's pretty good actually. Yeah,
I have to admit I have gone on bike rides where I heard like an hour of like
there
U.S. Open or something like that. So it's I do rip, but I'm still going to watch.
Well, it's an NFL
Sunday, but who knows?
Yeah, I know NFL Sunday and Saturdays. I'm like, yeah, do it a month ago, do it 4 weeks ago, or whatever it is. Nationally, what I guess just a general question: what do you feel like you were right about, wrong about? Where are we in this season? What sticks out to one Pete Futek as we're now a few weeks into this college football year?
I'm right. I think that we are careening towards Alabama versus Georgia. And this really kind of does feel like Alabama and Georgia are going to get through their respective schedules and meet in an epic SEC championship. We will see if Ole Miss is that good or if Texas A&M are that good, because both of them get Alabama the next few weeks. Georgia gets Florida coming up pretty soon. So I think I was right about that. I was right about Michigan. And what I was right more than any, because I'm right about this every year, and I don't say that to be a pompous jerk, cause even though I am one.
I like it.
I am a Power Five snob.
Yeah.
And
so am I.
The whole thing about Louisiana, and I know Coastal Carolina hasn't lost yet, but even Iowa State to a certain extent, it's like, no. Cincinnati's not one of the 10 best teams in college football. No, Louisiana is not one of the 25 best. And, you know, right on down the line, like, they're just not. And to get cheeky and rank them that high just makes them feel bad. It's actually mean, because it actually gives them hope that they're actually going to have a shot at the college football playoff, which they don't.
They need to hear that. I mean, they need to hear that. You need to send
that
to
a... Well, you guys just got by UCF. You guys took care. I thought UCF was going to be the star of this show.
Oh, yeah. Not anymore.
You guys got that done.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Louisville got that done. I'm sitting next to a big Kentucky fan. We can get to them in Chattanooga here in a second, which was disgusting. Louisville won on a miracle. And before the season, Pete, we used your sound as a talking point because you said, you know, just try to get to a bowl, uphill to get to a bowl. And Louisville sits there 2-1. It was very much a 50-50 game. It looked like they lost to Central Florida. So I think Louisville fans are all in. But I tell you, it's been week to week. It's been fire Satterfield, and now, hey, Satterfield maybe can get something going here. I guess, what did you make of Friday night? And, I mean, that was just that ending was ridiculous.
That was a blast. And, look, college football's been fun. You know, I know we've got to suspend our disbelief on a whole lot of old global pandemic-y things, but it's fun. Look, this is the games have been great. It's not like last year where it was really felt weird watching these things. And that was certainly a blast of a game. And for Louisville, okay, you know, so you don't have the talent of Clemson, but Clemson looks very beatable this year. You know, the ACC, you know, give me that team that you can't get by. Is it North Carolina? Probably not. You know, is it, you know, Florida State? Now, no. Is it Miami? Definitely no. You know, the ACC is just not that great. So in a positive way for Louisville, okay, just kind of keep, you know, win those 50-50 games, get to a bowl game, and it is a very positive step forward for the program.
Pete Futek with us, college football news at Pete Futek if you want to follow him there. What surprises you the most, maybe nothing, about what's going on at Florida State, 0-3, staring at 0-4, and just the rocky road it's been for Mike Norvell, where they are as a program, I guess, and what's happened this season? Anything stick out to you?
I'm surprised that after the second half against Notre Dame, they've been so bad. Because it requires sometimes a little while to get things going. And certainly last year, everybody gets a free pass. Whatever bad thing happened last year, okay, there's a whole slew of obvious reasons why, you know, things just didn't go quite right. Fine. So now this year, you know, they come back. They almost beat Notre Dame, where the running game starts to rip off yards and chunks. That's what Norvell's team did at Memphis, where they didn't play defense, but they made up for it by, you know, hitting like 30-yard runs every other play.
Right.
So they were just getting these shootouts. So you could kind of see, if you're a Florida State fan, okay, you lost to Notre Dame, but it was a thriller of a game. You battled hard. Nobody thought you were actually going to win it. And you can kind of see going forward that there's the team. That's going to be the identity going forward. And then they come out and lose to Jacksonville State, and then they come out and just – they didn't have anything against Wake Forest. You're not supposed to get beaten that easily by Wake Forest, even though the Demon Deacons are pretty good. And they just, for whatever reason, that can't be a program that is that bad. It is supposed to be right there with Clemson every single year to be in the mix for the college football playoff. And they just fell off the map because they could not figure out the offensive line at the end of the Jimbo Fisher era.
Yep.
And they fired Willie Taggart too early, where he could actually get the pieces in place, and they're just a mess right now.
Yeah, they're a total mess. I think Louisville should go up there and take advantage of that and get a win and feel good about themselves. You mentioned Clemson in the ACC, and we know the ACC is what it is. But Clemson, I mean, to me, I think they have a loss somewhere. You may say, where? And I say, well, I mean, they're not that good of a team, so they could lose to a number of people. I still think they're beating Louisville. Some fans around here may be unsure. What do you make of Clemson, the offensive struggles there, and what do you think ultimately what their ceiling might be this season?
It gets lost that, and a lot of teams out there right now where you can kind of look and say, look at the offensive struggles. Look at a Texas A&M who couldn't seem to do anything right offensively against Colorado. Okay, but the defense. That defense was a killer. Wisconsin just kept shooting itself in the foot against Penn State. Oh yeah, but the defense stuffed Penn State to a dead stop outside of two plays. There's, you know, team after team out there on a high level which might be struggling offensively a little bit, but their defenses are amazing because that seems to be the one big adjustment over the last year and a half, is that for all the offensive pyrotechnics and things, the defensive coaches started to figure something out, and now the defenses are starting to catch up a little bit, making adjustments. Well, same thing for Clemson. Everyone's talking about, okay, yeah, the offense sputtered and stuff. That defense is awesome. Now, yeah, they lose Tyler Davis, which hurts, and, you know, they are missing some other parts, but that D is going to be good enough to win the ACC championship. The offense, you still have a guy under center there who would have been a New York Jet if he could have come out early. He would have been the number two pick in the draft, Uyunglele. And you still have five-star guys at the skill positions. But it gets lost that they couldn't run the ball last year. That offensive line was just last season.
Yep.
Even though I think they did lead. I might be crazy. I think they led the ACC in total offense, maybe rushing or something crazy. But they couldn't get Travis Etienne going. And it still hasn't really worked for them yet. And they're just not running the ball like they should. But again, the defense takes care of a lot of problems for them.
Pete Futek with us. I always feel odd asking, like, I don't know. I want to be honest with you, Pete. I don't know how much you've seen of Kentucky and how much you dialed in to Kentucky Chattanooga on Saturday, a terrible game where Kentucky played bad. And so now, you know, fans want to see him go on the road and take care of a bad South Carolina team. You know, Florida looks more, you know, more difficult than we thought the way they played against Alabama. We know what Georgia is. So Kentucky has some losable games here. And they don't create turnovers, and they turn the ball over themselves, and they just had a bad game plan, and Liam Cohen kind of fell on the sword after Chattanooga. They should have lost that game, to be quite honest. I guess, where do you make of where Kentucky is? And now they get ready for, obviously, a team in South Carolina that is in full rebuild mode with Shaden Bieber.
That's why you pay Chattanooga the money. It's fine. Don't look anything into it other than what it is, and that it was a paycheck game, where you use that as a tune-up, as a rest, as a mental break from the games that really matter, and where you don't have to play your A game, and yet you will still win. I know that's easy for Florida State and Jacksonville State to say, but in general, that's right. Why you play that game. So I wouldn't get into a twist over that at all. But look, you know, this is what we talked about, you know, before the season, that the preseason analysis on Kentucky still holds. September is should be easy. They should win this game. November looks pretty easy. They should win a lot of games there. October is a problem. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be that midsection of the schedule where we see what they do. Obviously, they're going to go bowling. They're not going to be good enough to win the SEC East because they're not better than Georgia and Florida, which you obviously have to get through those two. But this is a good team that's, you know, it can beat the Vanderbilts and, you know, the Missouris and Tennessees of the world. So it can be good enough to be, you know, maybe the third or fourth best team at worst in the SEC East, but being third in the SEC East is not bad. And get to a good bowl game, and that's a pretty good thing, a pretty good season for Kentucky.
Pete Futek with us. Last one, our producer, Jack Grossman, who you talked to, he was in Bloomington last weekend, as his IU Hoosiers, they were, you know, tearing up the stadium and everything. They lost, and they lost to Cincinnati. So, I don't know, Jack. Do you need your spirits uplifted by Pete Futek, because he's down? Giving
I don't know
Indiana
if they'll be. I don't know if they'll be uplifted or crushed, but I'm all here for it.
I think Midnight Madness for basketball season starts in 6 days or so. Let's back to my whole snob thing. Indiana was not one of the 20 best teams in college football coming into the season. And last year they were great, but how do you know the Big Ten was down and weird and bad? Well, Penn State had its worst start in its history, and Northwestern went to the Big Ten championship game, and Indiana was probably the second best team in the conference. So there's just something a little amiss there. They did not start out well. I was actually very good. Michael Pittman. The knee injuries, Michael Penix Jr., Derek King down in Miami, it takes a little while to get back to form off of that. But Penix Jr. played all right against Cincinnati. Just, you know, special teams matter sometimes. And this is going to be a pretty decent season for them, and Big Ten season is supposed to kick in full force very soon.
I know. They got Penn State coming up. Yeah, they got Penn
State. Poor Jack. They'll get to a bowl game somewhere.
You know what? At this point, I'll take
That's good enough. No, yeah. They'll get to the bowl game somewhere. Yeah.
I mean, the schedule's brutal with them,
too. It's like a log in the ocean. That's all that's saving you right now is that they'll get to a bowl game somewhere. Well, Pete, appreciate the time. Continue doing your thing. Enjoy the college football season. We'll catch up down the road. Thank you so much.
Talk to you, guys.
All right, see you. Pete Futek with us here. College football news at Pete Futek. Always love when we can carve out a couple minutes for him. There
he was throwing haymakers today. It was great.
He was. He was. Pete Futek on a Wednesday. How about
good.
That? How about that?
Good today. I mean, you go from 17 in the country to – you'll get to a bowl somewhere. I mean, somewhere.
He had something for you, too.
He had something for you,
UK.
We all knew what he said, though. I mean, who here has disagreed with anything he said
about
Kentucky?
I don't know what Kentucky fans think of their team.
No, nobody
disagreed. I'm not sure I care, to be quite honest.
Well, they don't know what to think of their team ever, except for they know – here's what is true about Kentucky football fans.
They know what to think of their team in July.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm going to say. They know what to think about their team in the off season. When the actual season starts, I don't know, you know. We could win 7 games, maybe 8. Yeah. But July, Atlanta bound. Yeah. It's real funny how that changes. I'll
Why don't you attack somebody? Why don't you do a Sea of Blue article
on it?
It's
not just somebody. It's everybody.
It's everybody.
It's not just one Kentucky fan in general. It's all of them. It's all the Twitter fans and everybody's, we're awesome, we're great. Then the season starts and Chattanooga happens. It's like, well, I still think they'll be good. I still think they can win 8 games, but slow down on the dominance of Kentucky football. That's all I'm saying.
I am looking right now at a live stream of Jared Stillman wearing aviator mirrored sunglasses
right,
talking to Jason Fitz.
Oh, really? Where is he? Is he just in the studio?
I don't know.
Or is he outside enjoying?
No, he's out somewhere. He's on remote.
He's enjoying Nashville outdoors. There you go. His aviator's on. That just kills me.
Texas says, Entz is in the Hatfield Discord saying that he's going to be ranked in the top 10,000 of over 40 FIFA players in Louisville this year.
Does Entz just live in the Discord?
Yes. 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 The answer is yes. He lives in the Discord. Yes.
Is that his new apartment, just the Discord online?
I think he has an apparatus that he puts on his head when he goes to bed, and he just lives in the Discord.
Texas says, Strieble literally has been hyping up UK basketball all summer. Texas says, why does Strieble try to lecture UK fans?
I'm not trying to lecture UK fans. I'm just saying that Pete Futek didn't say anything groundbreaking.
Texas says, UK football honks are like the Dallas Cowboy fans before the season starts. Well, there's a reason. They're the same.
Yeah.
I mean, the majority, I feel like I know a lot of Kentucky fans who are
Cowboy fans.
Who are Cowboy fans.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot
of them. It's a rite of passage.
Yeah, it is. I'm not, but there are
many
Kentucky fans that are Cowboy fans. And the reason I'm hyping up Kentucky basketball is because we have evidence Kentucky basketball is good, you know, long term. They've been good for a long time. We don't have that evidence with Kentucky football. It was one really good season. And I like Kentucky football. I cheer for Kentucky football. I want them to win as many games as possible. But at the same time, I'm not going to sit there and look at it and be like,
Jack,
yeah.
Jack's done with this team.
I'm not
what
done
with
this
team. What are you saying right now? You are done well, whatever happens.
They're going to win 8 games.
You're unbelievable.
They're
going to
win 8 games and not beat anyone worth a damn.
So what? They're going to win more games than your Hoosiers, Jack. So there you go.
No, but you're
how about that?
You don't have any passion in this.
I do have passion.
You have no passion.
I get upset. I was mad
the
on Monday.
The passion of the Strieble. You have no passion.
How mad was I on Monday?
I don't know how mad. Not mad.
No,
you're not mad.
You said, "Wow, you're mad
yeah,
right
it's
now."
I'm saying you're not mad.
I'm still mad at the
you
way
say,
they performed.
Well, you know, you
but
win,
I think
you
they're
win 7 or 8 games. You know, whatever.
No,
you're like, woe is me.
I'm not woe is me.
You're woe is me.
I'm not woe is me.
PBN's done. Do you guys just care about basketball?
They care about basketball next season.
You are so focused on John Shire, you can't enjoy Kentucky football.
I am enjoying that. What was there to enjoy on Saturday?
Yeah, that's my point exactly. You're done
right,
now after Saturday.
I got the dub. Yeah, if I would have come on these airwaves and said, well, you know, we won the game, I'd be crushed.
You would be.
I'm pretty
I'd
sure you angrily said that to me yesterday.
I don't remember that.
Texas says, I was all in on UK until last Saturday. Now I'm pumping the brakes until after this Saturday. But I'm not sure that South Carolina's a litmus
test. They're not a litmus test.
We're supposed to have Shane Beamer on. Well, he's got something for you.
No, he doesn't. I don't believe he does. He's got something for us. It won't be good.
We'll see.
No, you're doing it. You're doing the we'll see.
We'll see, man.
Yeah, you're saying we'll see.
BBN's nervous, man. You said it, and you're starting to convince me. Who's nervous?
I think the fans secretly.
Secretly?
Yes, because you know what the
like
bravado.
Secret ratings. You know, like exactly. Secret BBN, right?
Secret BBN. Yeah, I know the bravado's out there, but I think that fans after Saturday were kind of like, ooh, like, uh-oh. Like that Missouri game gave this, like, just like what happened with Louisville on Friday. That Central Florida win has them over the moon. And like Jack's mighty Missouri, Jack says. Now mighty UCF. Kentucky fans got brought down to earth a little bit after that Missouri game.
Can they
game.
Get brought down to earth?
Who?
Kentucky fans.
I think they were, yeah. I think Saturday they got brought down. You know, I heard Justin Jeffries, who's a former player, that was like, what the hell was that? He called it crap. He did.
He called it crap.
He did.
Justin Jeffries called it crap.
And he's an actual player.
Yeah, Justin Jeffries hanging out. He's in like farm sales, isn't he?
Yeah, he sells farm like machinery. Equipment. Yeah, farm equipment. Farm equipment sales, yep.
Like yep.
Big big machine.
You buy a backhoe from him?
I haven't bought anything from him. No backhoes, no front hoes, no side hoes, nothing.
You did it. You didn't have to. You didn't have to.
I saw the door and I walked
you
over.
You didn't have
it,
to.
You know? Sometimes the joke just presents itself.
Texas says Strebel still living in 2010 to 2015 UK basketball. I would agree.
Yeah, and so is John Calipari.
I'm so excited about this scene. I cannot wait. Okay. While Jack's crying about
UK
Indiana,
not making the tournament.
We
haven't won at Wisconsin
I
in 33 years.
Yeah, they haven't.
Mike Woodson.
You're pretending like I have actual expectations for IU basketball.
No, I don't. Podcasting
yes.
about IU basketball.
It doesn't mean I have expectations for them to be
do.
Good.
That's a lie.
I said it.
Yes,
no, I don't. I just want to make the damn tournament. I've been on this.
I just want to. You want to crush Calipari, but you're on these airways saying deep down I just want him to make the tournament.
Yes, I know that Kentucky's in a better spot than IU basketball. It
don't comment. Don't say a word. Just be quiet when we're having these conversations because you're an IU fan. I just want to make the tournament. Don't take shots at John Calipari, who's so much better than anything you've had since Bob Knight. Don't take shots at Cal. You stay out of this conversation. You're like Louisville fans want to criticize the Kentucky recruiting. No, this stay in your lane. This ain't your lane. Get out.
Strebel, Gordon Strebel, if you're not a UK fan, you're just not allowed to talk to him. That all right. Good to know.
That's not what I'm saying.
Yes, you are.
I'll talk to a Duke fan. I'll talk to
Kansas how many freaking Duke fans are there around here, Strebel?
I talked to an LSU fan about basketball before I talked to an IU fan about basketball. How about that? How about I talk to a Rick Barnes fan before I talk to a Mike Woodson fan about basketball? How about that?
About Rick Barnes.
Had LSU and Tennessee have been more relevant in basketball in the last
I'm not arguing
than
that.
Than IU.
That's I'm not arguing that.
That's why I'm saying stay out of the business.
But Jax, stay out of the business.
No!
By the way, you know what you said, right? Like, you know what you said.
About what?
You said front hose.
Oh, yeah, I know what I said.
Like a back hose.
I did it on purpose.
The
side hose. Yeah, I did it on purpose. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I know. It was a joke. All
right. Texas says, bullying Jack, real classy Strebel.
I'm not bullying Jack.
I can
Texas
dig it.
Texas says, Jack spanking big rig bottom yet again.
See, that's the text line. One texter, you're bullying Jack. The other texter, Jack's owning Strebel.
That's how you know. No, Strebel. That's how you know. No, it's fun. That's what we want.
Absolutely.
Texas says Strebel's either going to be heartbroken or delusional when Cal flames out yet again this year.
If you want to go ahead and put money on Cal flaming out. Let's see what you get.
Texas says, my dog runs away when Jack talks. He sounds like a whistle.
That's a good one.
Sounds like a whistle. Would you like to sound
Texas
like a
says, does Big Rig know what a whole ram is? Farm equipment. I don't know if I should have read that.
I'll stay away from that one because I don't know.
Texas says, Calipari is Bobby Knight, refusing to update his style and watching the game pass him by.
Well, that...
Yeah, know, Knight, maybe, Knight did do that, yeah.
Maybe that... Not the abusing of
players. Yeah, no, not that part. Not that
Texas
part.
Texas says, will Strebel finally say it, national title or bust for Cal?
We said that. No, we already set that limit. You said 3 years. That's the limit we set.
There you go.
Yep, 3 years. Let's go.
Texas says, dude, you don't hear yourself. Don't understand how you sound when you talk like that to people.
Who, me?
No, not you. Not you. Yes, of course you, Streeple.
I'm just having fun with Jack.
Let's play something sound-wise. Can I get a Diener that it's substantial? Can I get that?
Yeah.
There's something on here that says Diener, it's substantial.
It's just substantial. I like it. Mark that.
Jesus.
Damn it.
Right, substantial, into it. And I like it.
I mean, that's a good one, man.
Jesus, I hate this place.
You said it feels good in your hands, too.
I did. Damn this place and the mixtape.
I mean, it was really a landslide there. You just kept going.
Oh, it was. Oh, damn it. Oh, yep.
This was the biscuit deer just having a good old time. How about that?
Give me the mall.
Do you want some more of the Issel sound?
Yeah, give me Issel sound. Of course. Yes. We're going to take a break here in a second. Give me a little bit of Issel sound. Go ahead.
Now, I just peeked through the window, past process. Sweeney walked by twice. He's getting roasted, but he's walking by to see how the fly.
Well, tell him to come in here. Tell him to come in here and stand up for himself. Sam Huffman.
For real?
Sam Huffman.
Sure.
Hell okay. Yeah.
Get him in here.
Get him in.
We're going to put him on the line and test his knowledge of professional football.
Jack, put that in your notebook. Sam, hell yeah.
Is this a Jim Brown take? Yeah. Is that what it is? I figured you would like
Sam
that.
Sam Huffman?
Yeah,
I thought you said Sam Huffman. I didn't know who that was.
Are you the moron that said Jim Brown was overrated?
Jim Brown's overrated, you know? There it is. There it is.
You just prove you don't know what you're talking about.
Look at
about
Process when you come hiding up, right now. He's hiding.
When you come up with a statement like that. Jim Brown's the greatest running back. Maybe Walter Payton.
Jim Brown.
Nobody else.
Gale Sayers is behind him. Gale Sayers is a pretty
Jim Brown would be Benny Snell now. Oh, you like please. That? Oh, you like that process?
Issel's heated. He is mad.
You don't have a problem with a professional football player doing a cartwheel into the
end zone. I love it. Give me as much of it as humanly possible.
You're a man. Yeah. Get out of here.
My Jim Brown one has been my most hot take because I get, you know, people are big Browns fans, they go, wait, Jim Brown, he only played 8 seasons. I mean, come on.
He ran the ball all the time.
I know.
And he never got hurt.
It's like, Brad, get him in here, put him on the line. It's great.
I think they're more offended by Sam Huff than they are. They are too.
I think they're very bothered that people don't know who Sam Huff
man.
Is. Which, goodness. You know, that's just, yeah, I liked it. That was good.
Well, yeah, it was Dan Issel calling me a moron. I mean, yeah, of course, dude, you liked it. Of course you loved that.
Dan Issel call him a moron?
I bet
before?
A lot. I bet Dan Issel's called a bunch of people a moron.
Probably. I can see that.
I think that would be my guess. A guy that's been in sports at the level that he has his entire life.
Been a coach and a GM and everything. Yes. Yeah, I can totally see that. Yeah. Oh, it's
Texas
great.
Says that Diener sound had everything.
It did. They ran the whole gamut. The whole gamut.
The whole game. Texas says, I hope Jack spits in your eye.
Well, that guy will be disappointed.
I hope Jack takes a big chaw and chews up some backy and spits it in your eye, Strebel. That'll show you, you bully.
Give me Process in the Sandstorm, Jack. Give me that. Give me some sound. Then we'll take a quick break and we'll wrap up the show. Give me one more piece of sound here before we take a break.
Jackie boy.
Jack.
You're locked on Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
What is that?
It's Sandstorm.
They played that at basketball games. So that now I recognize that now. I had to hear it.
Yeah, that's when I heard it. I was like, this is a big deal. They play this at every sporting event ever.
Yeah. Yeah,
Good job, Bobby.
It's kind of like when
why you're the best in the business.
Thank you, sir.
Coming up with that.
You got to get rid of that hoodie, though. I got this thing about the hoodies. It's like, you know, you got to get rid of the hoodie.
If it wasn't so cold and if I didn't have to roll out of bed, I promise I would dress nicer. But you know what? At 5:30 in the morning and with the temperature in this room,
Were you living here last night or you're back at the house?
No, I'm back at the house.
Okay, good. Good. I don't like it when you sleep here, man. That's not fair.
It is what it is, man. You got a job to do and you do it. You know
hear you. I admire you for doing that.
What is it with Process acting like we made him stay the night at the office? Like, honestly, Jack, okay,
like
what the hell's going on? No one did this.
No one made him do that.
No one has ever. No, he was staying back to find content so he could put his own tape together to find another job.
Gosh, that's, I mean.
It had nothing to do with us. Like, the barter spots. I'm like, those take like 10 minutes.
I just love that sound. Just get rid of the hoodie. I admire you for sleeping at
Did y'all notice what they called him? They called him Bobby.
Bobby. Yeah. Why they called him Bobby? Yeah. Wait a minute.
I don't know. I was listening. They did it another time also. They called him Bobby.
He did correct him. Oh, they still see what's up, Bob.
Game. So that now I get, I recognize that now. I had to hear it.
Yeah, that's when I heard it. I was like, this is a big deal. They play this at every sporting event ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good job, Bobby.
It's kind of like.
It's got to mean something. No, it's got to mean something.
It has to.
Good job, Bobby. It's.
Bobby Benson.
Sounds like a porn star.
He does.
Bobby Benson. Sounds like a backup quarterback. He sounds like, it's like Bobby Brister. Bobby Benson.
Bobby Benson.
Good job, Bobby.
That's great. I mean, that might be my favorite sound of the day. That whole clip was fantastic.
What a stupid week.
God, it's great.
Man, what a stupid week.
It's almost bad because of Sandstorm. Then they criticized his
BBN. BBN's whining about Sandstorm.
I like Sandstorm.
Get ready, Jack. Everyone, every BBN blogger boy and gas bag yeah. is all going to be complaining. It's a liar.
Not again.
Sandstorm the 900th time.
I like it.
Oh, please.
I don't know. I kind of like it. It's.
You would.
I do.
You look like the dad that would like Sandstorm.
It comes on and just.
Good job, Bobby.
That just kind of makes you want to dance. So there you go.
Texas says that he call him Bobby.
Ooh. Woo.
Happy birthday, Big Easy.
Happy birthday, Easy.
All right, we got to get out of here.
Should we play the last two Issel ones and then get out of here?
That's fine.
Sure.
We're saying our goodbyes.
Goodbye.
Bonus hour next, right? Yeah, we got a little bonus hour coming up next. LSL over on 93.9 The Ville, and we'll be back at it 3 o'clock tomorrow. Go ahead, Jack.
Who's better, Derrick Henry or Jim Brown?
Oh, please.
Jim Brown. Derrick Henry.
Get out of here.
I'm out.
If you asked Derrick Henry who was better, he'd tell you Jim Brown. Sherry just sent me a text, says, calm down. Texter says, I don't know if Pratt gets texts. text, but you can't jump on Lamar without getting on every guy that celebrates every tackle or first down. Well, Dan did.
I mean, I
didn't disagree.
I'm not single. I mean, we were singling out that because that was the one that we were talking about. And run into the end zone. Somebody makes an interception, and they all run to the end zone and kneel down. Stop it. We want to watch football. We don't want to watch you making a fool out of yourself on the football field.